Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, that was a good morning. That was a really hearty, plenty of people in the building, sort of good morning. It's great to have you folks. Welcome to worship in Railway Street on Sunday, the 5th of December, the second Sunday in Advent. And we do welcome each and every one of you, all of you who are in our meeting house today, those who are following the live stream at home, those who are listening to the telephone service later this morning. It's great to have you all sharing in worship with you. And could I especially welcome this morning Matthew Kelso. Matthew is the assistant minister in our neighbouring sister congregation of Sloane Street. And it's a joy to have Matthew here this morning. Matthew's going to be speaking to us as part of our service today. This is our Christmas gift service. We weren't able to have this service last year, folks. We were locked down. We just had a small team here doing the live stream that morning. Do you remember that Thursday night you brought down all your gifts for the food bank and for the city mission to the minor hall? Things have moved on and improved in some ways. It's great to have this service with folks here in person today. And we are going to invite you later, folks, using a one-way system to bring up, if you have gifts for the city mission, to bring those up, and we'll have boxes out at the front where you can leave those, but we'll give instructions for that later. So hopefully, I know some people had already left those gifts in, but hopefully others, you have them, and we'll invite you to bring them up later in the service. Could I remind you, folks, and again, it gives me no joy to have to say this, but in terms of Presbyterian congregations, everyone aged 13 and over, apart from those exempted, must wear face coverings on entry and exit and also during the entire service. That's a small step back, folks. You'll understand why that step's been taken. We hope that's only for the next few weeks. We hope once we get into the new year, things will continue to move forward once again. But we do ask you to help us to abide by that. Please, folks, remember to use that hand gel as you come in and as you go out. It's so easy to let things slip. Let's not do that. Let's set a really good example here in the church of good practice. Because as we know, COVID is out there, folks. Services can change very quickly in these days. I came down this morning to discover we'd lost two musicians and a reader who are having to self-isolate due to a case of COVID in their home. So things change very quickly, and it's important that we continue to maintain really good practice. We're here to worship God. Let's do that. Isaiah 42 says, "Here is my servant whom I have chosen, the one I love and whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will proclaim justice to the nations. In his name, the nations will put their hope." Let's pray together. Father God, we praise you that every part of Scripture points to the gift of hope that we have because of Jesus Christ. We thank you that his is that name in whom the nations put their hope. We thank you that the Christmas story wasn't the beginning of that message of hope, because the Old Testament is full of glimpses of your plan to redeem your people and to restore them to a relationship with you. But we praise you that we're truly able to begin to see and understand just how great your love for us is when we read the story of Jesus' birth in Bethlehem. Help us to see that you are with us, that the one who came as Emmanuel, God with us then, is present with his people today. We thank you because of that. Nothing is too difficult, too messy for you. Jesus came to give us the gift of eternal life through the salvation that only you, our Heavenly Father, can give when we believe in your Son, when we repent of our sins and confess him as our Lord and Savior. We praise you that first Christmas you gave us the gift of hope, wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. We thank you, Father, for your immeasurable gift. And we pray that in our day, in our city here of Lisburn, that you would help us bear witness to that hope at this time of year. We pray, Lord, that we would point people to Jesus, the one who is the hope of the world. For it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Morning, everyone. It's great to be with you. As Michael said, my name is Matthew Kelso. I'm the assistant in Sloan Street. I live not too far down the road, so it's great to actually call in and see what it's like in this building I drive past most of the time. This morning, boys and girls and everyone older than that, this morning we're going to head on a great journey. We're going to travel through time. That's what we're going to do together this morning, boys and girls and everyone older. We're going to head way back into the past. We're going to shoot far forward into the far-flung future. And the whole time, we're going to keep our eyes focused on just one person. The whole time, our eyes aren't going to leave the King of Christmas. We want to see the King of Christmas past and the King of Christmas present and the King of Christmas future. We want to see this one great king and see how he changes our lives. So are you ready? If you're ready, let's begin. We're going to zoom way back right to the very, very, very beginning. Let's hear a snapshot from the King of Christmas past. And if you want to follow along, you can in your pew Bibles in front of you. We're going to read page 5 together, Genesis chapter 3. Verses 14 to 15. So it's page 5 on the Bibles in front of you. Genesis chapter 3, verses 14 to 15. And we remember as we hear this, that this is God's ever-living, ever-speaking word to us. So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." That's God's word to us, the word of Christmas past. And if you were listening really carefully, you just caught a glimpse of the king, the snake, crushing hero kings. Let's think about this moment in the Bible so we can see him a bit more clearly. Tell me this, boys and girls, what is the very worst present you could ever open? The very last thing you'd like to see on Christmas Day. What do you think, boys and girls? What's the very worst present you could ever open on Christmas Day? Tablets for the dishwasher. That is a horrible present to have to open on Christmas Day. That would be absolutely horrible. Anyone else? Any advances on tablets for the dishwasher? Toilet roll? Yeah, useful, but not what you want on Christmas Day. Pardon, sorry? Oh, you guys are clever. Cool. Now, we're going to come to that, so hold that in your head for a second. I've had lots of bad presents in my time. Once 9 different people bought me 9 different bits of shower gel and deodorant, which must tell you something about my sense of hygiene. You're probably glad there's social distancing and masks going on at the minute. That was a bad present. But the worst present you could open on Christmas Day is definitely what? A lump of coal. A lump of coal is the worst present you could open because it means something's gone wrong. Something pretty atrocious has happened and you've done it. Coal is all you have to show for it. And you could wrap it and rewrap it and wrap it again and something would still be wrong. Your naughtiness would have ruined your Christmas Day. And if you listened really carefully to Genesis chapter 3, that's what we journeyed into, wasn't it? In Christmas past, Adam and Eve, 2 characters we didn't meet in Christmas past, had done something wrong, something majorly wrong, something pretty atrocious, something so naughty, the word naughty doesn't even begin to cover it. Does anyone know what Adam and Eve did? Can anyone remember what Adam and Eve did? Anyone remember? I'll tell you. Here's what Adam and Eve did. They listened to the sneaky snake that God talks to in verse 14. They ate the only thing God warned them not to eat. God gave them an entire world, a never-running-out McDonald's menu kind of world, a world full of great food. And they ate the only thing that didn't agree with them. They ate the fruit that God told them not to eat. And really, they did there exactly what we do every single day. They said, "Shove off, God, I'm in charge, not you. Maybe you're thinking, I don't do that every single day. I never tell God to shove off because I'm in charge, not him. But we say that all the time, don't we? Every time you kick your brother, every time you cheat on homework, every time you smile when you're thinking about how much you don't like the person in front of you, at all those moments, we're saying that we think we know how things really work, and God doesn't. We know best, and God hasn't got a clue. We're saying, shove off, God. I'm in charge, not you. And the Bible calls that sin. And you can wrap sin up all you want. You can cover it with being nice and being polite and being pretty. But something would still be wrong. Like that lump of coal on Christmas Day, our sin would still be ruining our lives. Our sin, our naughtier than naughtiness, always ruins our lives. It leaves us with tears and turmoil. It leaves us with coal on Christmas. It leaves us far away from God. And you must be thinking, that's not the good news we signed up for this morning. That doesn't sound like the joy to the world that the boys and girls happily banged along to. It looks like Christmas past is chock full of bad news. But remember what we're doing today? We're paying really careful attention to the King of Christmas. And what do you see in verse 15 of Genesis 3? Right at our naughtiest point, right at the moment when God could tell us to go to our room forever, when he could ground us forever, leave us forever, right at our very naughtiest point, what does God do in verse 15? He promises that he won't abandon us, that he won't leave us alone. He won't leave us trapped in our sin. He knows the very worst thing about you, and yet he still promises to send us a king, a snake-crushing hero king, a king who'll defeat our deadliest enemy and wipe the floor with all his lies, a king who'll defy our sin and dethrone our proud hearts, a king who'll set us free. Genesis 3:15 tells us this king will do it at very great cost so that we can have something much better than the coal we deserve for Christmas. You know, for the rest of the Bible, everyone is looking forward to this king. So in a minute, we're going to do something. We're going to skip most of the Bible and jump forward so that we can see the king really clearly. We're going to jump into Christmas present. But if you want to see him clearly, if you want to prepare your heart to see him, all you need to do right now is realize that God already knows the worst thing about you. He knows how rotten your sin has made your heart. And he promises to send a great king, a serpent-crushing hero king, to set you free.
Thanks, Matthew. Look forward to hearing the next part in just a few moments. Just some announcements at this stage. Folks, do pay careful attention. First of all, members of Kirk Session, tomorrow's the first Monday in the month, so we will have our elders' prayer time at 8 p.m. across in number 31. So members of Kirk Session, remember that prayer time tomorrow in number 31 at 8 p.m. District elders, you should have received emails in regards to this, but you're reminded to go to the kitchen in the main hall after the service to collect there the items that have been left for you. So district elders, please go round to the main hall after the service, collect the items that have been left for you. The December and January bulletin is available, contains all the details of our Christmas and New Year services, as well as a lot of other important information, plenty of pictures, and an update on the link redevelopment. That bulletin can be found, as always, to download in the resources section of the website. Printed copies will be delivered to those without internet access, but there are additional printed copies available after the service for those who would like them. But could I ask, if your copy is normally delivered, then please don't take one this morning. You will get it. But if there are others I know who like to get a printed copy, those are available at the end of the service. Will be on the tables as you go out. Folks, I want to thank you for your generosity, and I never take that for granted here in Railway Street, but you are a generous congregation. I know that, and as I've said before, we have the capacity to be generous in Railway Street, and it's important that we remember that. But in recent weeks, you've been giving to many different things. I've got a picture, AJ, the first picture. Here are the shoeboxes, as Linda and I took a sudden blank there, Hannah. Apologies, Hannah. Hannah and Linda took our shoe boxes to the distribution or to the collection point for Operation Christmas Child. Some 60 shoe boxes were taken. Thank you for all of you who filled those shoe boxes. Then it came to our contributions to the Lisburn Food Bank, to those Christmas hampers. Last Monday, we sorted and delivered those items. There were 91 tins of ham, 137 tins of fruit, 124 tubs of sweets and other miscellaneous items that were collected. That took several trolley runs between here and Lisburn City Church. So thank you again for your generosity to the food bank. And could I thank you in anticipation of what I know will be generous giving today to the Belfast City Mission Christmas appeal. I know a lot of items have already been given, and there'll be other items given later in our service. Thank you for that. Folks, the details of our Christmas services, as I say, are in the bulletin. We will be needing you to register for those, so we'll need in the coming days to make available the facility up online for you to do that. So watch Facebook, watch the website for details of that. Could I thank those who came down here on Friday evening and decorated our meeting house? Our young adults, some of them were down here. They were gathered together by S.J. Jemison. And thank you so much for getting the place look festive. And everything's in sync again, folks. It's great to see the banner, the Christmas tree, all the decorations that are up. So thanks to those who were here doing that on Friday night. Again, folks, I know space is limited in our car park, and there are many times where I can't get a space as well, but I need to remind you once again to ensure that you do not park in a way that restricts access to the builder's compound. We want this project to continue on time, so do please watch your parking there. I'm really glad to report that the piling work was begun and completed this week. AJ, can you put up the... So there you can see the cleared site where the old link used to be, and then during the course of this week, go to the next one, thank you. The piling has been completed, folks, so that puts us in position then, or puts the contractors in a position to begin the construction of the new link building in the coming week. So it's really good to see that rapid progress in recent weeks. And again, in terms of your generosity, folks, thank you for continuing to give to that redevelopment appeal and continue to do that. We're in a great position. We have not had to borrow any money this year due to the healthy financial position there. And even as we go into the new year, we don't initially need to borrow any money. And that will continue to be situation as we continue to generously give. And we only need to draw down that loan from the bank as and when we need it. So again, thank you for your giving to the redevelopment appeal. We're going to have a reading again now. I'm going to invite Adam Houston. Adam's in good form today because he got the AQE finished yesterday, so he's a happy boy. I'm going to invite Adam to go up to the pulpit, and he's going to read for us our next reading, which is from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. So Adam's going to read, and after Adam reads, Matthew's going to come back up and speak to us.
Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. Joseph accepts Jesus as his son. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit, because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to the public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Amen.
Thanks very much, Adam. That was a great reading of our next part of our journey through time as we try and track the King of Christmas. Now, boys and girls, we're going to play a quick game. And Sloane Street, I often make the boys and girls play some quick games. So this game is called What Do You Need? And here's how this game works. I'm going to give you two situations. All you have to do is tell me what you would need to get through both situations, okay? So what do you need if you get lost? You're stuck in the middle of the countryside. You don't know how to get home. What do you need? Any thoughts? What did you say? A map? Yeah, you need a map. Anything else you might need to get home if you're lost in the countryside?
A phone.
A phone? Yeah, you might need a phone. Anything else? Did you say something? I heard something. A compass? Yeah, a compass. One more. Any other thoughts? Pardon, sorry? A torch? Yes, sorry. A torch, yeah. Those are all great things. A map, a torch, a compass, a phone, sat-nav, Wi-Fi. Those are the things you might need if you get lost. What if you were out walking this afternoon down by the towpath and you slipped and you fell in? What would you need then? What would you need? Well, there's lots of thoughts here. So what would you need? Help? Yeah, you definitely need help. And any advances, anything you might need?
Stay calm.
You need to stay calm, yeah. What else might you need? Be able to swim. Yeah, swimming lessons. That would be good. One more, anything else? A towel, yeah. You need a towel after. You would need a rubber ring, a life jacket, something to help you float, lessons on how to swim. Do you know, there's something much better, though, than any of our answers. As good as they were, as helpful as they were, there's always one thing better than any object, and that is always a rescuer. Someone coming to the rescue is much better than having any object. It's always better if someone says, "Follow me, and I'll get you home when you get lost." I can't really swim, so I would need someone to jump into the river with me and pull me back out. A rescuer is always better. A rescuer is always someone we need. And that's what we heard when Adam read us the story of Christmas present. Trapped in our naughtier than naughtiness sin, trapped in our always getting cool for Christmas, stuck in that loop of telling God, "Shove off, I'm in charge, not you." God doesn't send an object to save us. God doesn't chuck down a map from heaven so that we can find our own way out. He doesn't throw out a rubber ring so we can paddle our way to safety. No, God keeps his promise right the way from Genesis 3 to send someone, to send a snake-crushing hero king, to send a rescuer. He sends the King of Christmas present, and this King comes to see if people like us, lost, tired, helpless, sin-trapped people. Did you hear how this King arrived, boys and girls? How did this King arrive? How did he arrive? I'll remind you. He arrived as a tiny baby. A tiny little child. When the King of Christmas comes to rescue his people, he doesn't fly in like Iron Man or Superman. He doesn't fly in, fly out, and then never show up again. That's not how he saves his people. No, he comes as a tiny baby because he promises to stick it out. He comes to rescue us by coming to stay around. And that's incredible, isn't it? And I think the King of Christmas present is incredible in every single way. Just like when you get a new toy and you keep turning it round and round and round, you really are really happy. You're trying to see every single bit of the toy. Matthew, who's writing this bit of the Bible, he wants us to do that with this incredible King, to turn him round to see how incredible he is. Hold him one way, Matthew says, and he's totally like you. Hold him one way and he's totally like you. He has parents. He's born like we are. He grows up and he learns how to do things just like we do. And he lives like all of us in a tear and turmoil soaked world. Why is he totally like us, Matthew tells us? So that he can heal every single part of us. He's like us so that he can set every inch of our sin-trapped hearts free, so he can make lost and tired and helpless hearts totally happy again. Matthew says, hold him like this. He's totally like you. And then Matthew says, hold him another way, and he's totally like God. You may have heard what Adam said. He has the nickname Emmanuel, because Emmanuel means God with us. He arrives completely drenched in God's own spirit. This king is totally God. He is totally perfect in every single way, with no trace of sin's naughtiness on his heart. Why is he totally God, Matthew says? To bring every single part of you close to God. So that every single part of you says, you're totally brilliant, God. You're in charge, not me. The King of Christmas is like us to heal us, and totally God with us, so that we can be close with him. That is his big, unshakable purpose. But boys and girls, can you remember, what is the King of Christmas present called? What name did the angel tell Joseph to give the King of Christmas present? What was his name? Jesus. His name is Jesus. He gets called that because Jesus means he will save his people from their sins. The King of Christmas present will leave no sin unhealed. He makes sure that no bit of you isn't held close to God. There's no darkness in you that's too much for this king to handle. No kicking or cheating or lying that he can't heal. No part of you so messy that he can't untangle it. This is a king who comes to heal his people, to heal their sin, and hold them close to God. That must be the best news you've ever heard. The kind of news you want to shout from the rooftops. We were trapped, but God has kept his promise. He has sent us a rescuer. He has sent us the perfect King of Christmas present. He sent us Jesus. But maybe you're wondering right now, whether this weak little baby can actually save someone like you. Can this little tiny baby really be the great hero king? Can he really overcome your darkness? Can he really untangle your sin? Well, if you're thinking that, hold on, because we're going to finish in a minute by heading to Christmas future. But for now, you just need to do one thing. You need to realize that God knows the worst things about you, as we heard in Christmas past, and yet, as we heard in Christmas present, he has still sent the King of Christmas to bring you close to him. There is no sin, no darkness, no mess, nothing in you that this king can't handle. The perfect King of Christmas present.
Gracious Father, we thank you at this time of year. We celebrate a gift. We celebrate the greatest gift that we can receive. Lord, in recent days, we've heard one of our first ministers in the United Kingdom saying the best gift we can give to anybody is to be vaccinated. And while, Lord, that's important on many levels, the reality is that the greatest gift that we can receive or give to anyone is to receive the gift of Jesus Christ, the hope of the world, the Savior of the world. We rejoice in that gift that you gave to us at first Christmas. We rejoice, Lord, as you have told us, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And we thank you this time of year enables us to give. As you have blessed us, as you have prospered us, to give to the needs of others. I thank you, Lord, for the generous giving already of this congregation to the Operation Christmas Child, to the work of Lisburn Food Bank, and today to the work of the Belfast City Mission. And we pray for these gifts as they go along with many others from many other congregations, the length and breadth of this land. We pray as the City Mission then gather those and organize and distribute them, that they will bring joy and help to many needy families. But even more than that, Lord, we pray that along with those gifts will come communication of that hope, that message of good news that is found in Jesus Christ. Father, we want to thank you for Roger's involvement in the ministry of the City Mission, for that burden that he has for the work of that mission. We want to give you thanks today, Lord, for that burden and ministry that he has carried and offered here in Railway Street as our clerk of session. We thank you for the great way in which he has done that over the course of these years. And we pray, Lord, that he and Liz will continue to know your blessing and good health and strength in all the days to come. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our Bible reading is from Revelation chapter 1, starting at verse 12. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash round his chest. The hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his hand he held seven stars, and coming out of his mouth was a sharp, double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades. Write therefore what you have seen, what is now, and what will take place later. The mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand, and of the seven golden lampstands is this. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches."
Thanks, Hannah. Boys and girls, last question. What is the very worst thing about Christmas? What's the very worst thing about Christmas Day? Any thoughts, boys and girls? The very worst thing about Christmas? Brussels sprouts. Yeah, they made my list. What else? Any other things?
EastEnders.
EastEnders, yeah. One more thing. What else? What else is terrible at Christmas?
The Queen's speech.
The Queen's speech. Oh, controversial. I'm not going to get involved in that one. I think it's too risky. Like, I'm not sure if the worst thing is Brussels sprouts or EastEnders or your daddy and all your favourite Quality Street before you can even taste one or losing at Monopoly. You know, I think the worst thing about Christmas Day is always that Christmas Day ends. The clock keeps ticking, and then it's Boxing Day, then it's January, then it's winter, not Christmas, and before you know it, you're back at school or work, you're trying to learn lots of spellings, solve all of maths, and it feels like nothing has ever changed. And if Christmas is like that, is that what the King of Christmas is like? Will the King of Christmas's reign, his sin-crushing, life-changing, party-bringing reign, will the King of Christmas's reign ever stop? Well, you already know the answer because you've stared with me at the King of Christmas future in Revelation chapter 1. And there you saw that his reign will never, ever run its course. His reign will never, ever stop. He brings his people into a Christmas day that never ends. The King of Christmas, he rescues his people with a never stopping, never giving up, unbreaking, always and forever rescue. And we saw that in that passage in Revelation 1 in two ways. Because as we stared at the King of Christmas future, we saw an awesomely mighty king. Do you remember what Revelation 1 said? It said his hair is blindingly white because he is super wise. His eyes are burningly hot because he is full of fiery joy. His feet are brilliantly brawny because he is impossibly strong. His voice is breathtakingly loud because he's full of unmissable good news. His face is blisteringly bright because he is incredibly holy. And what would you think if you saw this kind of king? You'd think he's not safe, but he definitely is good. Of course this kind of king can defeat the sneaky snake. Of course he can defeat our naughtier than naughtiness sin. Of course he can change our always telling God to shove off hearts. This is the kind of king who could come and down and mend God's broken world and make it our true, perfect, happy home again. This kind of king is the one who could make everything more wonderful for once having been so sad. This kind of king can take all the tears and turmoil and make them seem just like a shadow that's being chased away by the morning sun. This kind of king is the only king who could bring us into a Christmas Day family party that stretches on forever, a life marked by joy. That's the first thing we saw about the King of Christmas Future, but we saw something else too. You know, as we stared at the King of Christmas Future, as we were amazed by this mighty king, John tells us where he's standing right now. And he's not standing far away from us. No, John says he stands right with us. He is here with his church. We don't face the tears and turmoil on our own. This is a king who sticks around and sticks around forever so that he can bring us safely home. You know, the King of Christmas Future is on his way. He's going to be here soon. He's going to bring his people safely home, just as he promised. So what on earth do we know about this king? Well, lost in the darkness of Christmas past, our God didn't abandon us. He promised to send us a perfect king, a king who'd save us at very great cost. And when the promised king arrived in Christmas present, he arrived just like us to heal every single part of us. He arrived just like God to bring every single part of us close to God. We can never run too far. We can never be too lost. God's promised king promises to come and find us. And as we look forward to Christmas future, we see the king offers us life that doesn't end, life that eclipses every lie of the sneaky snake, that eclipses every tear and turmoil we've ever faced, life that feels like Christmas Day, full of fun and family and feasting forever. So what do we need to do? Well, all we can do, all we can ever do, is put all of our trust, all of our hope, all of our faith in the King of Christmas, past, present, and future. His name is Jesus, and he saves his people from their sins. So will you trust him and cling to him this Christmas? Just before the band come and lead us in our final song, let me pray. Let's pray together. Father, as we come before you now, we are so thankful that you've sent us a promised king, the King of Christmas, your son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, help us to cling to him, to know that his work of bringing us close to you, of healing every single part of us, of bringing us life that lasts forever, is open to all who trust in you by faith. Father, give us great confidence this Christmas as we look and see and savor our perfect Savior, your King, our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray this in his name. Amen. Let's share in the words of the benediction together. May the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and evermore. Amen.